This is an ODA podcast. You are listening to the Your Leadership is a Team Sport ODA podcast. We are talking today with Peter Berry, a dental success coach, certified management consultant, and restorative dental hygienist. He is the founder of Successful Practice Architects, a coaching company dedicated to serving the growth and development needs of dental professionals. Peter is based in Toronto and provides customized group and one-on-one success coaching to dental professionals across North America. What do you mean when you say leadership is a team sport?
Well, the goal of any business is to grow leaders around you. When they asked Bill Gates of Microsoft Corporation what his competitive advantage was, how he grew Microsoft so quickly, he said, "Our competitive advantage was that we were able to grow leaders around us faster than our competition." There can't just be one person in your practice telling everyone what to do, because that creates a feeling of a dictatorial, bossy environment where people eventually start to shut down or they end up not taking ownership in their roles. See, having to be the boss will burden and stress the leader to a point where you become tired of pushing, guiding, and directing your people. Eventually, you can even begin to lose your enjoyment and love for dentistry if you're practicing like this on a day-to-day basis. Doctors should focus on spending most of their time thinking and functioning within their unique ability, which is patient care and clinical dentistry. Ideally, you must or should have a trained team member, that allows you to stay out of the day-to-day operations of the practice, including possibly an office manager or a daily operations leader. Your job will be to focus on patients, and the task of coordinating people and making decisions shouldn't be on your shoulders on a day-to-day basis. You see, daily operations and clinical dentistry are two completely different skill sets, right? They're extremely different, and trying to function or be good at both of them at the same time is like training for the 100 meters and the marathon, and the 100-meter sprints at the same time. It's two completely different frames of mind, and being in one mode can actually dilute your effectiveness in the other mode. So dealing with no-shows, schedule changes, staff conflict, performance issues, and then suddenly switching gears to deliver a powerful new patient emotional experience is tough to do effectively for a leader. So ideally, leaders should be involved in big picture decisions, such as implementing culture, vision, you know, within clearly defined limits based on your practice values and philosophies. But within these limits, your team should be empowered to think creatively, to problem solve, and to be proactive self-starters that don't need constant direction every time the unexpected occurs. And this is known as a shared leadership culture. And the goal of a leader is to grow leaders around them. That is, independent thinkers that feel an ownership and commitment to their business, right, and to their role within the practice.
How does the leader create a shared leadership culture where everyone is communicating proactively and working together under common ideals and goals?
Well, you create a shared leadership culture by involving your team in the running of the business. And this is achieved by developing the skill of running powerful and effective results-producing full team meetings. Meetings should be used in your practice to assess your circumstances, to plan, to implement, and to evaluate strategies, and most importantly, to tweak and enhance things that you've already done until they're fully alive and effective within your business, so that you're not having to talk about them over and over again, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now. But unfortunately, most practices don't have regularly scheduled full team meetings. And when they do, they find that not much changes, or they end up talking about things over and over again, where people don't participate, or people aren't being open and honest, or when they are being open and honest, things can often digress to finger pointing or blame. Now, all this leads to meetings eventually fizzling out of the practice, and the environment becomes reduced to a few leaders or decision makers that are having to micromanage constantly by telling people what to do, what not to do and how to do it on a per incidence basis. And when this happens, your team will begin to feel oppressed, like there's a button on their heads, and the leader becomes exhausted. So effective team meetings will help you to function in a more in the proactive zone rather than the reactive zone, where you're constantly jumping through hoops and in response to the changing or unexpected situation. You see, there are three types of teams in this world. There are those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that wonder what happened. And meetings will put you into the proactive zone so that you're not wondering at the end of each busy or stressful day, what happened? Why were we so stressed out? So it's important when you have full team meetings to develop a system that can make them run more effectively. So let's look at a few things we can do. The first one is it's important to review the previous meeting that you had. What were the last strategies that we discussed at our last meeting? Let's take those up and let's make sure they're fully alive and well within our business before we move on to new agendas. The next thing is introduce today's topic. But when we do this, we must state it in a positive way. So for example, dealing with no-shows is not a positive way of looking at it. Instead, we want to talk about increasing patient commitment to their reservations. Or if we've got a problem with missing charts, rather than calling it that, what we'd want to have the meeting on is about having our charts when we need them. So in a sense, when you state things in the positive, what it ends up doing is it ends up creating a foundation where you're talking about what it is that you want to create rather than merely complaining about what it is that you don't like. The next thing we should do before actually discussing and solving things is connect the issue to your practice vision. Meaning, why is this important to our practice? Why do we want to take the time as a group to discuss this and to solve it? Will it create less stress? Will it be good for the team? Will it be good for the practice? Will it be good for our business bottom line to discuss this? Next, we would enter into a group discussion. And a group discussion is basically where we gain everyone's perspective around the issue before we try to solve it. At this stage, people automatically want to begin throwing solutions on the table, but it's unhealthy to do this at this point because you're not really ready. You don't really have the full picture. You don't know everything that's going on. It's important to have that discussion so you can gain everyone's perspective and viewpoints. Then create the strategies or discuss a few strategies that you're going to use to solve this. Once you've discussed the strategies, the meeting does not end. There's one more important step, and that is the action plan. Based on the strategies we've agreed on, we have to discuss exactly who will do what, by when, and how will we know it's done. And then your follow-up is that at your next team meeting, you start your next meeting by picking up with this issue, discussing it, and making sure that it's fully alive and in place. You see, meetings are a framework for you to work with your people and to explore circumstances, challenges, and opportunities, and to be able to implement new things that advance the goals of your business while empowering everyone on your team to feel a sense of accomplishment and unity. So give careful thought to your meeting process and design it to bring your people together. So if the whole thing is a one-way flow of information where one person, meaning you, the leader, or the office manager, is at the head of the table doing all the talking, this won't stimulate much unity or positive change. But if you want to experience a constant sense of growth or achievement within your dental office, then regular, well-planned, and well-executed full team meetings will be the ticket to your dreams. And that is because meetings will breed or stimulate a culture of change and innovation within your practice. And change is extremely important. You see, you can't change your results without changing your actions. And the very successes that got you where you are today, or to any point in your career, will eventually become the shackles that imprison you from further growth in the future. And that is because the world of dentistry around us is changing constantly, and we need to keep up with it. I think we've all heard the definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing and hoping for a different outcome. So if you want to get to second base, you have to be able to take your foot off first base. In your practice, if you want to get to somewhere new, you have to be prepared to leave something behind. I think there's a book that was written that I saw the title of, and it's called If It Ain't Broke, Break It. That's right. Innovation and change happens during well-executed full team meetings, and this is a developed skill.
How can the leader grow a culture of change and innovation into the practice? What strategies or tools will empower a leader and their team to be less reactive and more proactive in their daily activities?
Well, this is where team building becomes important. I heard a saying recently that someone said, if you're out front leading the way and no one is behind you, then you're merely taking a walk by yourself. If you want to grow a culture of change and innovation in your practice, you do this by developing your people, team building, developing everyone's leadership abilities. So let's look at a few ways that we can do this. The first one is that you as a leader must learn the art and science of recruiting and hiring. Starting with, you must be able to write powerful ads, ads that will attract the type of people you want, at the same time filter or deter the people you don't want. Things like fantastic career opportunity, don't hope any longer, growing downtown practice is seeking a confident self-starter to join our team and help us move to the next level. If this is you, come interview us for an exciting opportunity, etc., etc., etc. A powerful ad will attract the people you want. But then, when you place the ad, rather than asking people to fax their resumes, we all know that really good people can have poorly written resumes, but at the same time, people that aren't really great candidates can have very well-written resumes because maybe they hired someone to do this. So rather than asking people to send their resume, do a phone screening, right? Listen to their voice. Listen to how polite, how confident, how well-spoken they are. Listen to the passion and enthusiasm in their voice. Have an interview with them over the phone before you actually meet these people. And then when you do end up hiring these people, have a system where you train them, empower them, and release them. Training simply means give them clear guidelines and expectations. Don't just throw them into the middle of your busy ship and expect them to function and learn by the seat of their pants. Show them what needs to be done. Give them clear guidelines. Empower them by giving them what they need to succeed. And then release them so that you're not micromanaging them. Give them the freedom to exercise their strengths and their creativity. Your team shouldn't be afraid to explore different ways of doing things in order to achieve the same result, right? If it's not a life-threatening mistake, allow your people to grow as independent thinkers so that they don't constantly need to run to you for constant direction. So the next one is full team meetings. We discussed this a moment ago. The next one is morning huddles. I think it's extremely important for practices to have huddles every morning. In a sense, what you're doing is you're stopping and you're taking the pebble out of your shoe. You're stopping to tighten your shoelaces so that you're not tripping all day long. Set guidelines for these morning huddles. What will be discussed, right? Openings, unique patients, financials, treatment needs, seeds that we've planted. Then create a flow for the meeting. Who will speak first? Who will speak second? What will we talk about? Then we should look at reviewing yesterday. This is an important part of a morning huddle. Look at what happened yesterday. What worked well? What didn't? And how can we use this to be more effective tomorrow? And finally, you end your huddles by looking at tomorrow's meeting. And the next thing is have leadership meetings. If you have a dental office manager in your practice, rather than having conversations in the hallway with her, 20 or him, 20 to 30 times during the week, add up all these conversations and the amount of focus they take and the amount of energy they take, and dedicate a specific time each week to have leadership meetings where you and your office manager, in a structured, organized way, bring up issues, topics, you consolidate your ideas, you solve, you strategize, you create an action plan, and then you walk away from that meeting knowing what it is that you intend to do for the rest of that week. So huddles, morning huddles, full team meetings, and leadership meetings, all these things help you as a leader to organize and align your team by allowing you to proactively set performance standards and guidelines for day-to-day operations.
What communication strategies can a leader use to guide and positively influence behavior when team members don't meet performance standards or when they aren't doing what is expected of them?
That's a really important question. Doctors need to communicate clearly about what it is that they want from their people. And there's several ways to do this. The first one is principles of delegation. A leader must be able to delegate effectively rather than in a random, loose way. So if a leader wants something done, ask your people for feedback. Ask them, tell them clearly what it is that you want. Gain their feedback. Ensure that they write down what it is that you want them to do, if they're not gonna remember it, because we know the saying, what is that? That it's, I think, one sharp mind is, or one dull pencil is better than three sharp minds, right? So have your people write these things down when there's something specific that you want them to do. Give them a completion or reporting date, and basically focus on when you are delegating something to people. Make sure they clearly understand what it is that you want, how you want it done, and by when you want it done, and then there'll be less problems at the back end of dealing with things that didn't happen the way you needed. Next, have success meetings with your people. And what success meetings are is rather than having a performance standards meeting or counseling or reprimanding your people, have success meetings with them that are focused on the positive. If people aren't doing something in a way that you want it done or achieving the results that you want, sit down with them and help them to know what it is that's expected of them. And there's some guidelines for this. Basically you start by asking them, you know, can you help me? So when they invite you in, then you follow a few steps. First, explain the situation, what it is that you're experiencing without saying you. Secondly, tell them how the situation impacts the practice. Tell them how it impacts you, and then help them to feel comfortable that you're not attacking them in this situation, and that you understand their intentions are honorable. So it would work something like this. Joanne, can you help me? Joanne says yes. Then you say, I'm concerned, you know, in the morning when my charts aren't pulled, it impacts me because I'm not able to prepare for the patients that we're about to take care of. I think it also impacts the practice and our ability to provide a good service for our customers. Now, I know this is not your intention because I know who you are. Can you help me? And then what the leader should do is pause and listen to what the response is and receive the response fully. Allow the person to express themselves. Once they do, then you shift the focus onto asking them, well, now how can we solve this, right? Once you've decided how you're going to solve this, state some clear guidelines for exact behaviors that you want followed afterwards, and set a progress date or a reevaluation date where, okay, we're going to meet 2 weeks from today to see how things are going. So, in closing, I'd like to say that you as dentists have all the ingredients necessary to create any type of practice you desire. No matter where you are, in your career, or what your challenges are, any new result that you desire is just around the corner for you. Rather than feeling victim to difficult patients, insurance, your team, your location, your opportunity is to commit to being an extraordinary performer. And that's really what leadership is. The attitude of, if it's going to be, it's up to me. I must lead and pave the way for what it is that I want my team to embrace. So with that, each doctor has the opportunity to become a student of leadership. Just like you focus on growing your clinical skills, leadership isn't just a course, it's a lifestyle of having a bias towards action, getting stuff done. Don't just talk about it, do it. Run towards your fears. Take risks in your practice, raise the bar, and bit by bit, step by step, it's amazing how far you'll get 6 months from now. Tony Robbins once said, when you think about something, it's a dream. When you talk about it, it becomes exciting. When you plan it, it becomes possible. And when you schedule it, it becomes real. Leaders schedule things. So remember, you don't grow a business, you grow the people within your business, and then together you can take your business everywhere. And leadership is the spark that will ignite the chemistry of your championship team. I'd like to wish you all continued success and fulfillment and a huge sense of progress within our wonderful profession of dentistry.
You have been listening to an ODA podcast.